Hey everybody, this is the Brew Shaman for Crafted For You. With me tonight, as always, is my co-host,
Chris Nielsen. Yeah. Is that how we do that? I forget. There's so many podcasts, I forget how we intro stuff.
I don't think it matters. I think we're like on the same level. I'll share that spotlight with you.
And then my other co-host and producer,
Alyssa.
I let you speak. I let you say your name and stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, he usually introduces me because he's a gentleman. It's like the podcast version of holding the door open for a lady.
So I'm super excited because tonight we're doing our second homebrew episode. We actually have myself and two other homebrewers here. So we have a classmate of mine, former classmate. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Ken Wilson.
And then?
And Dan Hicks, complete amateur.
that's fun.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You gotta start from the bottom. We've all been there. So we got some beer tonight as well. I'm super excited. Got some homebrew. So where did you actually start, Ken? What got you like, man, I wanna make my own beer.
To make a long story short, my brother-in-law said something about it one day. And I looked on YouTube, and I said, no way, it looks too difficult. And he had a cousin that lives in Boston that was down here visiting one day, and he was like, oh, man, it's so easy. He was like, just try it. And so we put all the equipment together and gave it a whirl one day. And that's history.
Been
doing it since. That was 3 years ago this August.
So it's actually, you've been through 3 years.
Yeah.
And you're brewing all grain now, right?
I've always brewed all grain.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never done extract.
It's a fun process. And where did you start?
Well, aside from partaking for a long time, my fiance decided one Christmas to get me a kit about 2 years ago. So I waited and brewed.
Did you get like one of those like pre-built kits, or did you go get like...
No,
the Big Dance kit with everything.
No, it was the pre-built Brooklyn Brewing Brown kit. Yeah,
the 1 gallon.
Yeah, 1 gallon. So started that way and brewed maybe two or three more kits, and then took a long time off and just decided I liked it enough that I would go ahead and start putting the money into getting the setup, getting the kettle, getting everything.
Yeah.
So over the course of a year, but I've only brewed about 4 batches on a full, like, all-grain.
You're all-grain now?
Yeah. Yeah, I've also never done anything but all-grain. The kit was all-grain.
I guess I'm the only one.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
But, yeah, as our dog barks more. Doing extract, man, that's not fun. I don't, you were there.
I was there. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, but I think it takes the complexity. I'm not saying anything bad against, like, extract brewing, but I think it takes a lot of the complexity, and I think a lot of the fun steps out of brewing.
Yeah, but it also simplifies it and gives you an easier starting point, so it's not quite, like you were saying, it's very intimidating at first to look at it, but I think...
Yeah, the intimidating part for me, and it may have just been where I watched this one video where this guy was talking about having to be... so clean and
talking about sanitation.
And the way that he was cleaning that keg was just ridiculous, and I was like, I'll just buy it, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the extract, I never have been interested in the extract. There's nothing wrong with it if that's your thing and that's what you want to do. But for me personally, I think I've only done like maybe 1 or 2 kits that I bought everything, mm-hmm. the grain and the hops in it. I haven't done many of those because I like to play around and just do.
You like to build from the bottom?
Yeah, whatever I think tastes good with the hops and the grain and whatever, and I just mm-hmm. throw it together. That's why I try to enter beers in a competition, and I always get knocked on, doesn't fit the category. I'm just going to start submitting into specialty.
Yeah.
From here on out.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be constrained by a category.
I like to, like I said, I mean,
I don't always follow category either.
Yeah.
You just brew what you like.
And but me, I'm always trying to put it in that close category.
Yeah.
And I swear that they always, on the score sheets, it's always not exact to style.
Like, if it's like the color's off, or it's like too much hops, or
yeah,
maybe the alcohol.
Yeah.
That's usually a big one. Alcohol's...
I'll usually hit that. But usually, I don't know. I just sit there and I think about what I want to put together. And I put together what I want to.
That's what homebrewing is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think if the kit was extract, I would have started extract. But
right.
Yeah, the fact that the kit was all grain from the start, I think
that's very true.
Yeah, I didn't feel the need to go back. Like, it felt like when you go read everything about it, it kind of feels like taking a step. It's like, well, I made my extract one time before. And kind of feels like taking a step backwards.
So, like, when you started homebrewing and, like, I'm sure there's instructions and everything for the kit. Where did you go from there? Did you, like, did you go online? Did you pick up some books?
It was Homebrew Talk and Reddit, pretty much. And like, just getting, seeing what everybody, like, the kind of the general, getting the feel for, like, the general advice and what do you actually need to take home and actually start was the thing. And then kind of getting that inventory. I'm like, well, I gotta have the kettle, I gotta have this, and I gotta have that, and I gotta have a burner. And I made the mistake. That was my first mistake. Was I bought way, way too small a burner, like a 50,000 BKU burner. And the first time I brewed, it took me like an hour and a half to get something to start to boil,
and
it just wasn't working.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so that was the first upgrade I made. Was the new burner. Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I gotta move up from here. I can't have 8 hour. Brew days.
No.
6 and 8 hour brew days.
That'll burn you out real quick.
Yeah.
So what were some of the early beers that you guys brewed?
Well, the first one I did was, other than the kit, which was just a plain brown, I tried. The first one I did from a recipe on my, like, 5 gallon kit was just a plain milk stout is what I tried. I just wanted to start simple. It was single hop. And, you know, pound of lactose in there, and that was about it. It turned out okay. You know, I feel like I undercarbonated it, like, a lot in the bottle. So it was kind of flat, but it was my first one, so I drank 50 bottles of it, you know.
And if you're going to undercarbonate a beer, milk stout's not the worst one to deal with. So.
Yeah. And other people seem to like it, you know. I've been able
Are you like me? Are you your biggest critic?
Yes, absolutely.
You're like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, this is awesome.
Everything
I can
garbage.
Do better.
Oh, everything is garbage. Like the minute I'm done, I'm walking into the house, you know, with my fiance and just like, that was awful. That was terrible. This was going to turn out like crap. I messed up. My gravity's off. Like, you know, I'll find anything to start beating myself up on with that.
Yeah.
Do you guys brew together?
No. No, no. She every once in a while she leans her head out the door and is like, "You need anything?" All right, I'm gonna go read a book or something.
Lunch. You know, that's what my wife always does. She, y'all need lunch yet? All right, thanks. Pick us that up.
Right. I like throwing the hops in.
That's her big thing.
You're
the hop
girl.
Thrower. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the thing is I'm. My day job is a chemist in a lab anyway, so like I'm very meticulous with that. It's like on the stove is like all of my additions like precisely weighed out and everything. Like before I even start, and then I get started and I'm just standing there for now I don't have anything to do for this hour while it's mashing. I should probably plan this out a little bit better, but I don't know. That's the only way I've done it. I kind of enjoy doing it that way.
That's the way Jeff does it.
Yeah, I usually wake up. I sanitize everything, and then I start mashing, and then as I'm mashing, I'm weighing out everything, getting everything ready.
Well, you can only do it so many times before you start to realize, like, this would be so much better if I just had everything ready before I started anything.
I think you eventually get into a routine as you get, like, if you do 10 batches or so, you're like, man, I should have done it this way, I should have done it this way, and then you're just like... It just comes like second nature, and you just go. You don't even think about it. You're already doing the next thing.
You're smart enough to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, I think after 5 years, I think I got it down.
You're pretty efficient. Usually, you're done by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I start early.
I'm usually pitching about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I try to get it as early as I can. Probably to start at like 9, I'm usually done by 1 or 2. Well, usually done in the and then there's the hour of cleaning everything and spraying everything out that I don't count.
No, that's like secondary. Sometimes
done.
Yeah. Do you also leave all of your equipment in your spare bathroom?
We had to make an agreement that if it was gonna stay in the house, it at least had to be like on a nice set of shelves, like a nice set of metal shelves and everything. It's got to be at least somewhere that if we do have guests, that I can close that door and nobody can see that.
Right.
And that's all right. that's the agreement that was made.
I just close the curtain.
The shower curtain. But as the nice fiancé I am, I one day surprised him with a new shower head, the type that like has the long hose.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is going to make cleaning so much easier. I'm like, so it's going to get done faster. Right? But it didn't.
It's hard sometimes. So let's get some beer. What did you bring tonight, Ken? I think she stole all your bottles.
Oh,
yeah. Just as I'm getting ready to take the photo, you're like, let's just drink all the beer that Alyssa's been meticulous.
I'm sorry,
setting up.
I want to drink something.
Well, maybe if you didn't overcarb our beer, I would have already. I'm like, you guys, this photo, when you see it on Instagram or on the episode,
that is not how the beer came out of the tap.
These little tasters, I just gotta let the head go down and then refill with the head.
Filling tasters is a pain in the ass to begin with.
Yeah, well, Jeff made it harder.
No, the brown's really good, though.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Well, okay, so I don't know how you guys carbonate, but I'll do, like, 40 PSI
mm-hmm.
for, like, 2 days.
Mm.
And then sometimes I go a little overboard, but...
We can see.
Mine's all bottle conditioned. I've never...
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah,
also wanted a forced carb to get ready for an event.
Yeah, I had to do it usually pretty quick.
Yeah.
But. So, what are some of the obstacles that you guys have had the most trouble with, like early in brewing?
For me, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of like y'all to where I was my biggest critic, and we'd make a beer and people would love it. Oh, this is great! Mainly, probably because they were getting it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Then I would always taste something just not
yeah.
right,
yeah.
you know. And now, since I went through class at RCC, I learned what exactly what I was tasting was an infection. And then I learned about aerating and putting in your oxygen, and that made my beer a lot better.
Right.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
It was probably, I guess, just some of those little things as far as all flavors.
All right. Well, what are we gonna start with?
I don't know. I'm gonna put that in your hands, the both of you.
These belong to you.
Oh yeah.
Is that his
yes.
as well? Okay.
And then
these are yours and the growlers.
Well, I'll tell you these. I brought these because they're. I'm interested to see how these taste. They were bottled a while back. Some my freezer got really cold in one area and they expanded and some I lost some because the ice expanded as it froze and blew some caps off, and these are some survivors.
so what beer is this
like a Belgian IPA. It's I use Belgian yeast and dry hopped with Humelen hops.
Ooh.
It's called the Lion's Roar because of its yellow color, and this is a amber, and it's a sessionable beer. I was asked to make one for a party, so I wanted to make one where everybody was not
wasted.
These are the same thing.
Snockered.
No, those are different.
No.
Okay, so we'll do the one, the LR.
It's the Lion's Roar.
I cannot promise what these are going to taste like.
We'll
they were
find out.
They were good at one time.
That's the experiment.
Exactly.
Jeff is just grabbing a couple more glasses.
Do you want to just grab little tasters?
Sure.
Yeah, we have a bunch of them.
These are probably just easier because we're doing bottles.
Yeah.
I would say so. Uno más.
Pet Supply Plus.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really
interesting tasters.
Well, these are from like beer festivals. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And this one's from.
Well, this should be like super bright because it froze, right?
Mm. Yeah, it was bright before that too. So.
Oh wow.
That's where I got the name from, that bright yellow color.
River is.
She's in rare form tonight.
I'm happy right now.
Let me play Mama.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Maybe a little dregs in this one. I'll drink that one. Oh, it smells really good.
Yeah.
Oh wow. It's like I'm trying to describe that flavor. It's like grapefruit ish.
Mm-hmm.
Melony.
Probably yeast driven.
Yeah, let me try the one that yeast. I didn't get all the dregs from.
Mm. Oh yeah, goodness.
About the same.
Almost a pilsnery kind of flavor out of it. Am I crazy?
Like a like struck match kind of like a sulfur. Like that's a, not a bad thing from like pilsner
malt. No. I'm trying to.
I did use pilsner malt.
Yeah, there you very go. Good. Okay.
You could be getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. You know that I'm not as good with the flavor profile stuff.
I know. We've explained this.
Call like it you, as a.
The way you explain things is for the common man.
Yeah.
Is this the Belgian IPA? Is that what you said this one was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can taste the Belgian.
You get the bubble gummy?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe that's what I was getting. I was.
Which I love. I love
you definitely
Belgian
taste
beer.
Some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Mm. I like this one a lot. Here, try it with the yeast.
Oh.
I got the last dregs of it, so try that.
That's a little different.
It's very different.
Yeah. Try all of us off just go back. And
oh yeah. You get a lot more.
Oh, that's really different.
You get a lot more bubble gum.
Yeah.
Out of this one. Oh. I like it a lot. It's good.
I think it survived the freezing.
Yeah.
I think it made
so.
It.
Yeah, I don't think there's any like chill haze. Well, we'll let it get warm and then get cold again. We'll see what happens.
You've had beers freeze on you, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I did one in when I do when I crash beers. I've had the thermostat go a little haywire and actually freeze part of my beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sucks. it starts freezing like the top layer. But no, it turned out fine. It was just maybe a little higher alcohol because of the. Actually, throw
not
some of the water out of the
about that.
Like an ice bock kind of
ice
beer.
Yeah.
I don't think it did too much. And then what is this one with the A on it?
That's a Session Amber. It's low. It's 3.9. So
that's not a bad thing though.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of the problem is you get so many like imperial or double styles of things now. And, like, you end up at, like, a brewery, and, like, after two beers, you're done. You're like, oh, I still got to drive home.
Yeah. That's the problem with doing this show.
That's also a big problem, especially when we did the episode with Todd. He brought
two, like, imperial beers.
Yes.
That's what I remember seeing that badge on Untappd that was like, drink 5 beers that are over 10% alcohol. I was like, how am I ever going to get that?
Hang out with Todd.
Yeah, now I've had like 75 or something. This wasn't near as hard as I thought it was.
It is funny when you first start getting into, you know, beer as a hobby, how fast you're like, oh man, all these people know all of this stuff and have tried all of these beers. And then like, it's amazing how quickly you start to catch up to that. And you're like, oh, well, now I want to try all these different things because I know, you know, at first you're like, oh, there's only so many different types of beer, you know. And as you learn the nuance and stuff.
Yeah, and getting that vocabulary helps too. Because I like the first time I had anything that was, I guess, craft was other than, you know, Blue Moon or something that they're calling craft, like a Blue Moon or a Shock Top or something. It was like a friend of mine from work. And the first thing he bought me was Dead Guy. And I took a drink of it, and you know, I hated it, but you want to look cool, so you're like, this is real good, and I'm calling it hoppy, and it's not, like, all this stuff, you know, is, and then, like, I a week later, I went back to the store, and bought, like, a six-pack of it for myself, and I was like, I'm going to figure out what makes him like this so much, and, like, just, you know, gradually worked my way through that, and like by the end of the six pack I was like, you know, this is pretty good, but and then like from there just kind of expanding out and being like, oh, this is, I think Dead Guy was like a Maybach or something like that, and then like just going through there and being like, well, this is another Maybach, and then this is another thing, and kind of branching out from all of that.
You just gotta find what you like. Yeah, that's the biggest thing, because not everybody likes everything.
Yeah,
and it's just experimenting, you know, down the road, like, do I like IPAs? Do I like ambers? You know, and then picking out from each one, like, you know, I really like, you know, how this one's super malty, and there's this other style that's the same way. Maybe I'll like that. And I'm kind of migrating around.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes it hard to, like, because we fall so easily into, like, the style fads, like, all these different IPAs, like, popping up. Someone who might not like IPAs but might be new to craft beer thinks, oh, like, that's, like, the best beer. This is what it is, and I don't like that, so I don't like beer.
Right.
And it's hard to kind of branch past what, like, the quote-unquote super popular thing is right now.
Yeah. I completely agree.
So you said you brewed this for a party that your friends were having, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good party beer. It's a good, it's nice and subtle.
Sessionable.
In flavor and in alcohol, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And, I could totally see this. It's a good red cup beer. Yeah.
It's a pretty color, malty too.
This is the first one I ever used gelatin on.
Nice. I actually did gelatin on one of mine.
So if anyone here is vegan, I apologize for not.
Are you a big fan of gelatin?
And you know, the jury's still out for me. I used it on this one.
Alyssa's going to show you something.
Yeah, what's the... I'm not familiar with the usage of gelatin. What's the purpose of gelatin in the beer?
This beer, which is the Empire...
Okay.
We did not use gelatin in.
Okay.
And this beer, Rebel Scum, we did.
Yeah.
And they were brewed at the same time in a split batch.
Okay.
It's so a 10-gallon batch. Look,
so is the clarity? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
What the gelatin does, it basically like clings to everything and weighs it down when you wanna.
Okay.
And like coagulates.
So if you wanna hold them on up to the light, you can kind of see.
Wipe the
condensation
out of here. Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's night and day. Same, like she said, it was the same batch.
Wow.
We did a 10-gallon batch.
Yeah.
It totally...
That's nuts. So this this one, I don't even know how to... I got bad at radio right now. This one here is obviously much hazier
than
the one with the gelatin.
To be honest, it also is a little stunted by the flocculation of that yeast.
Okay.
Because it was an English strain, and English strains are a little less flocculent.
Yeah.
But even still, like... They went through the same thing. They both went through my... I crashed both of them for the same amount of time. The only thing is that one just got gelatin.
The gelatin in this one definitely looks... This looks much more... it's got the clarity of like a more commercial beer.
Yep. Yeah.
And
this one looked more like what I was drinking earlier.
Right.
Which will be really exciting because we're going to be using that when we brew the beer for Cecily and Joe's wedding.
Okay.
And they're going to be in clear cups. So...
Yeah.
They're going to look, like, more commercial.
Right,
hopefully.
Okay. And you're doing that with the bourbon
brown.
You
can even try it, too.
Yeah, as well. The bourbon...
I tell you, I mean, I like that.
It's clear. Yeah. Like, it's clear enough.
But like you're talking about, you're making one for the party. People are going to... They're going to
be looking.
They're
going to
be wowed.
Yeah.
It's going to kind of...
It'll look commercial.
And if for anyone who doesn't know, it'll kind of change their perception of homebrew.
Right.
To say, like, it...
Oh, that's good.
You like
them? I was gonna say which one I like more.
He always does that.
I stopped.
He'll say, "Oh no!" But like just yesterday or the other day, he wanted me to drink something, and he's like, "Do you taste this in here?" I was like, "Well, obviously now I'm gonna taste that." Like,
thanks for telling.
That's exactly what I. That's all I taste now.
Yeah, my dad suffers from being like a really nice guy. Where like if I'll tell him, I'll be like, "Yeah, I brewed this one, and it's a." Supposed to have a little bit of orange in it and this, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I can taste that." Like, I could hand him the exact same thing and say, "This one's got something completely different." He'd be like, "Yeah, I can taste that. You did a really
liar.
Good job. You did a really good job on this
Jedi mind tricks."
Whenever I want to feel good about myself, I just go feed him some beer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you gotta,
let's stay with bottles.
With any creative endeavor, you have to have the kind of people that are going to like it regardless and the kind of people that are going to hate it regardless, and then hopefully some people somewhere in the middle. You know?
Yeah.
And this one that I did was just a... Yeah, it was just a...
I'm a fan of Citra.
It was a pale ale that was just... It was only hopped with Citra and dry hopped with Citra. It was supposed to be a pale ale, and I think it ended up being more of an IPA. That was one thing I didn't necessarily pay attention to, was on the Beersmith...
It's bright.
The alpha acids, like... were much lower on Beersmith than the ones I actually bought, so it ended up with a little bit higher IBU than I was aiming for.
Perfect segue. What kind of software does everyone use? Does anyone use software?
Beersmith, yeah.
You use Beersmith?
Yeah. You just switched.
I got one called Brew Target. It's an open source one.
Oh.
It's actually awesome.
I started out with that one.
Did you?
And then did not have... ingredients.
Oh, you kind of have to upload. Yeah, that's the only complaint I have so far. But, like, I brewed one on the software that I've been using on my iPad. I forget which one it is. And then I took the same recipe and transferred it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the beer was already completed. And my numbers were exactly with what I hit, personally. Because it even had my system, like, plugged in already. It had the 10-gallon Igloo cooler and...
Oh, wow.
Set.
It smells great.
Citra.
Yeah.
So have you noticed differences between the software? Is one more consistent and more accurate, or are they just
I haven't brewed a batch from that software alone yet.
Okay.
But I think we're gonna be doing their saison soon.
Did you get different numbers when you ran it? Or I imagine it's all the same math because it's.
It was a
math.
Little different, than what was on the software on here.
Huh.
But it actually came out to what. Exactly what I wrote down that day.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was using it, and when I finally got fed up with and got rid of and got Beersmith, I was trying to put in an ingredient, and I clicked on it and, like, the extra ingredients, and then when it went to my recipe, it was like something else. Seriously. So, like, I'm trying to think what extra, I can't even remember what extra I was putting in. I can't remember. But I tried to put something in, and it was something else showed up in the, you know, how you can pick your ingredients?
Yeah.
And then you go to see your recipe, and it was something different.
Well, that's weird. I know it's constantly changing because it's open source, so anyone could add to it and stuff.
Right.
But maybe it was a later edition, but I think, like, right now, because even Brian down at the Natty's Pub, he uses it, and he's using it for the big system.
Oh, wow.
And he says it works great. Like, he hits his numbers every time.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
So
you said you do chemistry.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Has that affected the way that you brew it more than just, how you lay your ingredients out?
Not in particular, other than it feels a lot like work. It's very similar to work, but it does give you more of a baseline, I guess more of a baseline understanding, because, like, my degree was in biology, but I do chemistry, and it does give you a little bit more of a baseline understanding of, like, what's going on. I didn't necessarily have to learn everything from scratch as far as, like,
I'm sure you knew a lot
As far as what's actually going on inside your beer, you know, and all of that, the enzymes and stuff like that. Like, I already had that language already. You know, coming out, but I mean, other than that, I mean, that's probably what drew me to it because I enjoy the work.
Right.
And then it was like, well, now I can just marry that.
That's a fun way to do it instead of a work way to do
it.
Yeah.
See, I'm just the opposite. I hated chemistry. But then once we started taking chemistry or learning all about the chemistry behind it in class,
that's when it clicked for you.
I got a better appreciation for it. Maybe because. My chemistry teacher, all we ever did in school was balance equations.
Right. And drinking beer and balancing equations are very different.
Very different.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of chemistry that comes across as math. And I think, and if you don't like math, you're not going to like that. But getting your hands on stuff just feels so much different than...
Right. And focusing on the process rather than the numbers.
Yeah.
And making it just relevant to your life, it gives you more of a vested interest.
Yeah.
I've taken I took the same class twice in college, and I hated it the first time because I had an awful professor. And then the second time I took it, I was, like, all-star of the class because the professor was engaging, and I realized why I liked the subject so much, and it just changed my entire point of view. It was Shakespeare, not chemistry.
So I gotta know what everybody thinks about it.
I really like this. It's so bright,
dude. I
love
it.
What'd you say the hops are? You said it was one hop?
It's all Citra.
Okay.
Yeah. And what was your malt build?
That I don't
pretty
remember.
Standard.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it was pretty standard.
Okay.
It was pretty standard. I have to get my handy notebook.
No, I understand. People always ask me the same thing. I'm like, there's two row and there's some caramelic maybe.
It's about 80% of this.
I don't know.
20% of a bunch of other stuff.
Well, it's very refreshing.
It is really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
So which batch was this? Was this like your third or fourth?
This was third.
Your third?
Third. Well, the first, because the first batch was that milk stout. The second was just a generic pale ale with just Cascade, and it just ended up kind of tasting like nothing. Like, I don't know what I did wrong on that one. Like, it it didn't really have any hop character. It didn't really
have...
Was this
a kit?
No.
Okay, I was going to say maybe you got like old hops
or
something.
Yeah, it might have been something like that, but it just ended up, because that was hops through Amazon, was that one.
Oh,
so
okay.
That
could
probably
be why.
That was probably my issue, was hops through Amazon.
And then you're adjusting your hop schedule, and then you're like, wait, this isn't right at all.
It says one pellet of hops? Okay.
it ended up, I mean, it was just bland, like, because I gave it to a friend, and he was like, this is very unassuming, was the word that he used. I was like, I don't know what that means, but I get what you're trying to tell me here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, you know, it there was just nothing to define, that was very definitive.
Just
about
no hop character?
And just didn't have a lot of anything in there. And then after it aged a while, it actually got a little bit of, like, a melon character, and it turned out okay.
Yeah.
But initially, I was just like, I'll drink this, but I'm not going to like it.
Yeah. I'm kind of forced myself to drink 50 bottles of this.
Well, that was the first thing. So I did that milk stout and did the full 5 gallons and made 50 bottles. And then, like, my fiance doesn't really drink beer, so I realized, well, I'm going to have to drink all this myself. So my next batch was 2.5 gallons, and that was a little bit more manageable, which was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I made 2.5 gallons of the Citra one, and I wish I'd have made 5.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
It
I really like that.
It's really good.
What else did you bring for
us? And then these are actually the same thing. I just
okay,
got
okay, cool.
That one. That one I make no promises on. That one was that one was pretty much
mystery beer.
It was a pale ale with, again, Cascade hops. And this is where I did something.
Pretty color.
Yeah, I did something myself.
Okay.
Where I wanted something kind of summery, so I added a little bit of orange peel, like an ounce of orange peel, sweet orange peel, an ounce of tangerine peel, and
when
some
coriander. When did you do it?
5 minutes left in the boil.
Perfect.
And I honestly wish it had, I don't know if I didn't put enough in there, but I don't feel like it has necessarily that character that I wanted it to have. I don't really taste the...
How fresh is this one?
Because
that could also...
There's some citrus on the nose, but that's probably just the hops coming through.
Yeah, it was bottled, and it was dry hopped with a little bit of Cascade, and it was...
smells good.
Yeah, and it's been bottled maybe 3-4 weeks ago. But I don't feel like almost anything I added came through.
I don't know, there's some citrus there. What hops did you use?
Cascade.
I don't think it's the Cascade coming through.
It's got a really good mouthfeel to it. It was carbonated really well.
Yeah, I think you could afford to add a little bit more of the, what did you say, orange peel?
Yeah, it was orange, tangerine, and coriander seeds.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes through, but I think you could go a little bolder on it.
Mm-hmm.
What size batch?
It was a 5 gallon batch.
So this is your first 5?
Yeah, no, this was second 5. That,
okay.
That milk stout was 5, but this
okay.
was, and then I added an ounce, and it was an ounce of sweet orange peel, an ounce of tangerine peel, and an ounce of coriander.
I don't think you can go too big, at least on, like, the citrus. At least, you can go too big, but, like, you know, like, 2 or 3 ounces, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, this is the first one that I tried, like, well, I'm going to try something. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I didn't, my recipe, I've been getting recipes from Homebrew Talk and, you know, like, the book you told me to get. What was that? The Designing...
Great Beers?
Yeah, Designing Great Beer. Or not that one, but the... the Jameel and...
The classic styles. Yeah, classic styles is great.
And using kind of that as a base, and that's what I did, was use that as a base, and then just say, like, well, I'm going to throw some orange and some tangerine and some coriander.
I think that's the best thing to do with that book.
And kind of see what happens.
The coriander balances it out nicely. I'm getting a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Going through. Kind of brings it, makes the citrus a little bit more subtle. Yes.
So that's what that's what's hard for me to get is because
actual feedback.
Yeah, it's actual feedback because I want to get feedback because you want to get better, but then you got your friends are sometimes too worried about.
Well, you got like, your friends. Like, yeah, I made a thing. Like, oh, it's good. I'm so proud of you. You know.
Yeah.
You said this was a pale ale.
Yeah.
I think for me it can go with a little more bitterness, maybe.
It's a little sweet. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I think that would add a lot to it. I mean, it's great. I could kick a few of these back.
Well, I'm happy to hear it.
I think it's very well
carbonated. I can't get over that. Yeah. I love beer that has a good mouthfeel to it.
The unsuredness, like, indecisiveness of how much of that extra stuff to add. Like, we still debate about that. Last summer, we made the grapefruit blonde that would actually end up being more of an IPA.
It's like an IPA, yeah.
Like, we did grapefruit zest. Yeah, so one time, sometimes you, like, you know...
You define it after you brew it.
Yeah. Yeah. You set out to brew one thing, and it kind of turns into another thing, and that makes it all the more fun, you know?
I wanted that
spectrum...
I really wanted, like, the citrus to come out, so I think I used citrus in mine, too. And I think that's what kind of bumped it over the edge is because I added a shit ton of citra.
But we weren't sure just how much grapefruit zest to add. Like, what wouldn't be enough, what would be too much, and sometimes when you
And you don't always have consistency in zest either.
Exactly, and sometimes if you do too much zest, it ends up being too bitter and not enough citrus. And I was in the kitchen for, like, 2 hours zesting, like, 10 grapefruits to get, like, Jeez, 3 ounces worth.
So what's...
Oh, it was great, though. It was a fantastic beer.
And the same thing happened when we made the ginger pale ale. We're still unsure next time we brew that, like, how we want to do the ginger in it. We want to try something different to see, like, what's the best method.
So what's y'all's opinion on the Trub? Because, like, when I made my first 5-gallon batch, I wasn't used to seeing that much of it, and I kind of panicked. So I, like...
With, like, a very hoppy beer?
No, it was my milk stout, so I, like... I poured it into the carboy, and it was the 6.5-gallon carboy, and it just looked like half of it was just, because I just poured it directly in there. I don't filter anything.
Okay.
I didn't filter either of those either. And then I like panicked and poured it into a different carboy, like filtering it and like throwing it out. The more I read and the more research I do, it just doesn't seem like it honestly makes a whole...
Don't leave the Trub out. Oh, that's my personal opinion. So I have a kegel that I use, and I have like a 90-degree kind of, I don't know what you would call it, but when I'm transferring it to a carboy, I leave it like, I don't know, 75 degrees, so it's just skimming the top, and as it's going, I keep pushing it down, so I'm only getting the brightest stuff, and then when it gets near the bottom, and it's just all like, hops and protein matter and all that shit, I just stop.
I don't pull that out because I've got where I siphon it.
Yeah.
I don't just dump it like I used to, but I do siphon it and I try to, and I leave a little bit at the bottom, but I'm not as worried as I used to be about,
if you,
you
pick
know,
up a little bit of that
in there.
It's fine. It's gonna, you know, go right to the bottom anyway.
That was another thing. It was like I started to second guess myself on the orange peel and the tangerine and the coriander. It's like, if any of this, because I didn't know if any of that actually ended up in the carboy, is it going to just turn flat bitter over time or something like that as it just sits there fermenting with orange peel in it? Like,
did you add any in secondary?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I mean, what you're getting when you move it over, the flavor's already been pulled out of a lot of that.
Yeah, I think if you do secondary, it just would have got really bitter.
Yeah.
If you just let it sit in there for a couple days.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the last couple minutes is like the best thing. We've seen really good results on that. We did the ginger the last, like, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's when we put the zest in.
Yep.
So
I think that's where you're pulling in a lot of that, like, flavor. Because everything's not volatizing really quick.
Isn't that what Anita said to do for the basil, for the saison we want to do?
Yep. The last 5 minutes or so.
We want to do a basil lime saison next.
Ooh.
And our friend Anita from Mystery said that doing it like the last 5 minutes of the boil is the best time to dump it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basil beers.
I love basil beers.
Dude, have you ever had a basil beer?
I have. I go back and forth on it. I'm not huge on basil in the first place.
Okay.
I like it if you're using it to bring other flavors together, but using basil just as like a very straightforward adjunct. It's not my cup of tea. So
I think I've had basil beers I wasn't too keen on, and the best basil beer I ever had was actually homebrew last year at
the Raleigh Rally.
And I've also had Bison Brewing's organic basil beer.
Yeah, I don't remember what style it is.
No, but it's
it's really good.
I think it's a Saison.
Well, Full Steam makes one, don't they? A basil?
They do make a basil
yeah.
one. That one's
yeah,
good, too.
I think that's
good.
The only one I've had.
It's good. I personally prefer the Bison.
I think the basil is more pronounced. I think that's probably why you
I
like
think
it
it's
more.
I think it's a fuller-bodied, like, I don't know. Everything just melts together so much better, I think, in that beer. So, but I think when we had the homebrew one, it had lime in it as well, and the lime basil like balances each other.
That's
really
a good
well.
Combination. I think the basil gets to me when it's too plant-y.
You get vegetative.
Yeah.
That sometimes happens with hops.
Yeah.
You go overboard on hops and it just gets muddled.
Especially if you use whole leaf hops, you get a lot of that vegetative flavor in it.
And I think for basil tastes. I prefer pesto that has more of, like, the lemon
right.
in it.
Yeah.
So I think this...
Yeah, the citrus definitely helps tone some of that down.
Yeah.
So we got some growlers now.
Growlers.
You said to bring homebrew.
Hell yeah.
Does that mean we're moving over to these ones?
Yeah, we are. We're upgrading, guys, to goblets.
The big boy cups. Get a bigger pours.
What is this?
This is... an IPA.
Oh, yeah, this is what he was talking about.
Dry hop with Cascade.
Awesome.
I think I've decided I want to dry hop. Next time I'll dry hop with more. I did 2 ounces. Next time I'll probably double that.
Do you keg?
Yes.
Yes.
I've always kegged. I never wanted to.
Man, you just blew all the steps away.
Jumped right in.
It's good.
God.
I like kegging.
Oh,
I like having
the
option to do a half pour.
Just like you, she's spoiled. She came right into it when I was like $2,000 invested in homebrew.
Yeah,
full setup.
I never had to do the, yeah, sure, babe, this is great, like high pitch, because when I came into it, it was like, holy shit, this is great. I think that had a big thing to do with me actually starting to enjoy beer, because when I did what before I moved here, I was not a beer drinker.
This is a great color. It's really like orange copper.
It's really malty on the front end. I like that.
It is. It's a little more maltier than I.
Oh wow! What do you remember what you used in malts?
Basic 2-row, and then I use some tin. I do remember this
Keratin.
Because I made sure that I paid attention to this because I did some extra, like a little extra Cara 40.
Okay,
so,
that's why it's got that really copper.
Yes, and I'm telling you, a little went a long way.
Yeah.
So that's where it came out maltier than I had intended because that little bit that I bumped it up really came through.
And is that something that you can see really well in your software? Does that come through? Have you had a problem with that?
Well, I tell you, the reason why I bumped it up was the last time I did this was on a 5-gallon batch,
mm-hmm.
and I do 10 gallons now. And so when in the software, when you convert from the 5 to the 10, it gave me, like, for the 40, it was... I can't remember how much I used, but it was like, let's say, 1.12 pounds, right? And so I bumped it up to like 1.25, 1.5 or something like that, just to round it off. And you wouldn't think, and the percentage was, I mean, that's a large percentage on like 1 pound. I can't remember my exact numbers. I bumped it up just a little bit, but it came through, so...
Yeah, with the lighter malts that you were using, you said Crystal Carat 20 or Carat 10 and just 2-row, like that's starting off at like 3 SRM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just
yeah,
bumping it straight
I
up.
I like the
color
in the beginning of it too. It's just there's the front end hops kind of drop off a little faster because
mm-hmm.
of the maltiness from it, but
yeah,
it settles really nicely.
That's why I think if I had dry hopped with more, that might have come through and taken down that maltiness a little
yeah.
bit, stayed a little
yeah,
bit longer.
Absolutely.
And what did you actually classify this as? Is this a
IPA?
An IPA?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one thing that you were talking about earlier, getting dinged on like competitions.
Yeah.
They might almost ding you on that.
Yeah.
I like it because it's almost
because of the maltiness.
Because of the color and the maltiness.
It's almost like backwards of a traditional IPA, where it kind of settles out to that malt flavor. Am I not being loud enough?
No, you're mumbling.
You don't have to be all passive aggressive about it.
I've been
drinking beer this
know.
Whole time, and you think that I'm not going
to
mumble. All right,
bitch.
No.
You know how to podcast.
Yeah, that's why
yeah.
I just called her
amateur.
Out.
Amateur.
No, this is great. I like the maltiness. I'm not a huge like malt forward IPA, but you're not either. You were like West Coast.
Like when you're talking about dead guy and arrogant bastard.
Oh, I love some arrogant bastard.
That's the difference between me and Jeff. You can always we're always gonna disagree on malt every
yeah.
time.
Be like, I did this IPA, Chris. He'd be like, oh, cool. What is it like? Well, I just used 2-row and I threw in like 10 pounds of hops. Enjoy. But no, this is fantastic. I really like this.
I think it's drinkable, but...
Are you your biggest critic?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's weird. No, it's just this weird. Like I like it, but I can't describe how like the normally you know the front end is kind of when you're sipping on it and it's sitting in your mouth. But it's like as I'm sipping it and it's going through my lips, I'm getting that malt character.
The
but
malt
the
is,
second it's in my mouth,
the malt is
it's
carries.
An IPA.
Oh
it's
really?
So yeah, like I don't know how to explain it better than that. But like right here, like I'm like.
As he's
right there.
Everyone
it's
can't
malty.
See
it. You know what? Let me spell it again. That must be... I don't know. It's weird. I like it. I like it because it's weird.
We like weird beers here. We do like that.
So you said you did a 10-gallon?
Mm-hmm.
And you only do 10-gallon now?
Depending on the grain bill. So this was... came out 6.8%. I was a little off on my gravity. No, wait a minute. This one I was on target with my gravity. We were looking for that. For us, my brother-in-law and I, because we do all our brews together, sessionable for us is in that 6 range. That's what we call sessionable.
Yeah.
Worked
up
to that. Yeah, so we were looking for an IPA that gave you a little bit, but... We didn't want to do any kind of imperial or double like we had been doing that just...
You have one and then you're kind of like, oh, I'm kind of done for the night.
Right. So depending on the grain bill, because we're just using a 10-gallon cooler, Gatorade cooler, as a mash tun.
And you use the tall igloo? Or do you use the long, wide one?
A tall one.
Okay,
yeah. And you can only do so much. As far as grain and putting your mash water in.
Yeah, I can't remember how much we did last time. I think we did 24 pounds. And
it
I think that was
heavy.
Almost the max.
That's where I max out.
Yeah.
24-ish. 20 to 25-ish is, yeah.
And then, yeah, and you get a really thick mash.
Yeah.
That was an interesting brew day.
Yeah.
That was a tough brew day.
Have we talked about their builds yet?
So that's
would,
a perfect segue
yeah,
into
I
it.
Yeah, I would love to know what you guys are brewing on.
I use the same thing. I use the tall Lowe's igloo cooler that I've got. I don't have a... That's one of the next things I'm going to upgrade to is a false bottom, but right now I'm using the braided stainless steel
mm-hmm.
hose. So with like stainless steel fittings on that, and I've got a...
Do you at least have a ball valve on the front?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. I've got the ball valve on the front. I've got a 10-gallon stainless steel boil kettle that I use. And I have a 10-gallon aluminum... the kind of stock pot, but I don't use it for much more than just heating up water. honestly. I don't boil anything in it.
Okay, good.
Or anything like that. I'm just getting water up to temperature before I dump it in there. But it's pretty simple. I've got my... That was another thing that I upgraded to, first off, was the immersion chiller.
Yes.
After the adventure...
In the
trying
cold
to cool,
bath.
Yeah. taking it 90 minutes to start to boil, and then taking it 2 hours to get down to 70 degrees or whatever it was. And then that was a mishap, because on that same, this may explain my problem with the one that tasted like nothing. Was I had the immersion chiller hooked up, and I had my clamps on there really tight, and I turned the water on, and I'm listening, and I'm not really hearing anything, and I go over there. And my clamp fell off into the thing, and it's just shooting water like into.
So
I probably did put about a gallon of water.
That's probably why.
Yeah,
I think you solved your problem.
I think I solved my problem right here.
Dude, it tastes like water. Oh, it's got water.
I just need to workshop this a bit. But it probably ended up putting about a gallon of water on top of it. That time, so that was one of my first. I've yet to have a serious disaster, like anything that I would call a disaster. Like, I can't salvage
this. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I can't salvage this at all.
Yeah.
But that was an eye opener. Like, being careful, for sure.
So it sounds like we all kind of use the same exact systems.
Yeah, I'm just mashing in a bucket, boiling in a pot, but I am actively pursuing welding a single tier system and getting some pumps, because I am tired of dumping pots. And
that
stuff.
Is what I'm talking about.
I'm so tired of it.
My lower back is a mess after every single day.
A little countertop brewery. Just
like wheel that. Out. That's what we want to do when we have our own house.
Yeah.
Just get a whole system going.
Yeah. Set it up in the garage. You never have to break it down. Make sure there's like a slop sink to clean stuff in. Mm.
One of our classmates, Ryan Davidson, he welded together a single tier, system, and I went down and brewed with him. I guess it was while we were out for winter break or whatever.
Yeah,
and it was nice. Just turned that pump on,
and you're just good to go.
Yeah.
The next thing we do have to do is we have to. Like, create, a stand for the mill.
Yeah.
Because,
I'll tell you what. Go for it. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That was our biggest upgrade recently.
The mill.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But right now, we just balance it on the bucket and let the drill go.
Yeah.
And every so often, I just see, like, Jeff's arms flail, the things at the car dealerships, and the things toppled
wacky
over.
Wailing and flipping
just see the drill going around,
spinning, and there's grain everywhere, and we're losing it. And we have to figure out a way to get it
to stay.
Stable.
Yeah.
What kind of mill did you get?
It's a cereal crusher.
Serial killer.
Yeah.
Nice. That's an awesome name.
It was nice. It's just getting it to stay. Like, I almost need to put a brick on it or something.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's just I actually need something for it to stay on.
Well, we want to build a little table where you can easily slide the grain bucket underneath and then drill it into it, so it's stationary all the time, especially since. Right now, we even have an outlet in that closet where we store everything, so it would never have to move.
Yeah,
well, that's one of those things. When I brewed my first batch, I just knew that I had everything, and then I had my list of everything that I was gonna have and everything, and then by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, I need this, I need this.
Yeah,
I need
always,
like, it's
every
always
time,
something
every
to make
time.
It easier.
Oh yeah,
when you build that. Let me know, because I would love to be able to pop an Arduino board on that and play around with some automation.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be really cool.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anything that we're looking to do soon. I don't know what our biggest new upgrade is.
We want to organize that closet.
That is the biggest
thing
with shelves.
Thing.
Yeah, I agree.
What kind of sparge do you do?
I do fly.
You do fly?
I used to do, because
I'm only ever done batch.
I used to do that. Actually, that's one big thing that I want to do is continuously sparge. Because right now I'm just usually just taking water and taking my mass paddle and just kind of putting water over it so it kind of sprinkles. Mm-hmm. But that just eventually... Oh, yeah, you need to take that down.
I did.
Been doing some pull-ups?
Yeah, we're doing some P90X, man.
I'm doing pull-ups. I can do 3 at a time now.
I'm doing X3.
Hell yeah, that's what we're doing. It's fucking great.
Anyway.
But that just gets, like, to a pain in the ass because, like, you know, I'll do, like, a pitcher or two. I'll walk away. And I'm like, oh, shit. I need to... Oh, shit, my green's gone dry. Fuck. I need to pour more water on. But I have really good efficiency. I got, like, 78 last time.
Yeah.
Which was really good.
Yeah, I've noticed that because... I sparge like you. I've never batch sparged. Mm-hmm. I've thought about it.
It's a pain in the ass.
Really?
Well, it's you kind of have to recirculate all over again. So you dump all your water back in. You
recirculate, let it sit for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, but see, with me, like, in doing it like we do it, one of the things is if I don't run off slow enough, then my gravity goes... I mean, yeah, my efficiency goes way down.
Oh, you got to go like a trickle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get tired of that.
Oh, no, I have. It usually takes me like an hour to run off.
Yeah.
About. Probably more than that. But I get better efficiency out of doing that, so I'll sacrifice the time to do so.
I think I've got my beersmith set at like a 72% efficiency, whatever the default was, and I hit that about every time.
That's good.
Yeah, batch sparging.
Hey, if you're hitting your numbers, man, that's what it's about.
But I am going to leave you guys to talk about all that technical stuff. I've got to run again. I feel so bad that I'm making a habit out of this. I'm trying not to.
It's better. You lasted longer this time.
I did. I know. It's
for anyone that doesn't 56
know. 56 minutes in, man. That's
good. Which is almost to the end. We don't usually go much longer.
Yeah.
But for anyone who doesn't know Mr. Nielsen personally,
he
is the friend that stretches himself very, very far.
Way too thin, yeah. But just, and this involves everybody's listeners, we have absolutely massive things happening with this show and the whole network, and we have spun it off into a much larger production company. And so now that's left me with a lot of obligations that don't let me be here till the end of the episodes. So... hopefully it means good things for all of you, and if you like listening to me talk, I'm sorry, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that I'm here through the end of the episodes, but you guys have a great time finishing out the episode.
We'll talk later.
It was nice meeting you guys.
Nice meeting you. I hear you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're trying to be much better about our scheduling, so hopefully the next few episodes you will hear Chris for the duration of the episode, but until then... We're down to 4.
That's fine. More beer for all of us.
Yes. And what is this next beer? As Jeff, open mouth.
Downs.
I had to finish it.
No beer gets left unfinished in this household.
Absolutely not. Mm.
When is this now?
So this is funny.
Oh, okay. I like funny things.
So,
shit. This is dark as shit.
The intention...
Oh, is this your bourbon brown?
Yes.
Yes.
So the intention, last year I made a beer.
Oops, sorry.
All of my beers that I make, they have some kind of meaning behind them. Well, just about all of them. And they have some kind of story. So this one, and usually it's some kind of story on... the day that the recipe was first brewed for the first time. So I've made one that was called I Came, I Saw, I Conquered, because I did it on the Ides of March, mm-hmm. Julius Caesar.
Which one was that? I think I tried that one. Was that your single... Your single hopped IPA? That was fantastic.
Yeah. I did an Irish Dry Stout on November 22nd for JFK called Camelot Interrupted. My wife actually named that one. She's good at doing that. Yeah.
She comes up with most of
the
names.
The beers. Now, what I'm doing is I'm pouring little tasters because we also have bourbon brown.
Okay.
A vanilla bourbon brown. So after we've tasted and enjoyed your beer for the gloriousness that it is, we would like everyone to taste them side by side.
Absolutely.
Because how often do you get two homebrewers who have the same things on at the same time?
That's very true.
Not very often.
So
you can take mine.
So with this one, last year, on my grandmother's birthday, I made one called Sooty Stout in honor of her. She actually just passed away about a month ago. But her nickname was Sooty, and she liked molasses. So I did her beer a couple of times, obviously, and she would not have anything to do with drinking it, by the way. So I did it a couple of times. We actually put it into a competition for IH Caffey.
Yeah.
And it won best beer.
Nice. That's awesome.
But it was half the competition was your beer, and half the competition was your presentation.
Oh, yes.
And my buddies, they did not win the presentation part. So, but nevertheless, so this was the third attempt at it, and I was talked into trying some dehusked Carafa instead of Black Patent this time.
Okay.
And it made for a completely separate beer. Completely different beer. So instead of being black, it is brown. Instead of having that roasted flavor from the Black Patent,
yeah,
it does not have that. Plus, also, I did the bourbon chips a little differently this time. So this ended up being a whole new beer.
Oh, I like that.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fan of it.
It's warm.
It is warm. You get a little of the...
Yeah, it tastes a lot of bourbon.
I do like it.
I just think the bourbon would go better with the roasty flavor from the Black Patent, just in my opinion, instead of having the... Because I think the Black Patent would give it more of a chocolate roast flavor.
Yeah.
That would go better with that bourbon. But... other people have liked it, so...
It's warming. It is very warming. It's really good.
And it's sweet. You can smell the bourbon. Like, it smells boozier than it tastes, which is always a good thing, in my opinion.
Ooh. Very chocolatey.
Yeah. A little chocolate flavor.
Very chocolatey.
Yeah.
Wow. That was the first time we did this one.
I get a lot of the vanilla.
Yeah.
It's more of the bourbon in the nose than anything.
Yeah.
We soaked 3 fresh vanilla beans in
Maker's Mark.
Mark.
That's what I use, Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
What, probably 2 shots worth?
Yeah.
For a week. And then
we just dumped the whole thing in.
See, I did something different, and I did not... I can't remember the ounces, but did the wood chips and put them in a jar and let them sit for 2 weeks, and then they all dropped and got soaked. I just put the chips in. I didn't dump all of the bourbon that was with it in. So I think I lost a lot of the bourbon flavor that was in the others before.
Probably.
Which... with this, the way this turned out, with not having that roast backbone to it, I'm happier with. Because otherwise it would have been really bourbon boozy.
Yeah.
So, definitely tell a difference.
Yeah, ours is a lot more chocolatey than I remember.
Oh yeah, they're two completely different beers. But it's just, it's cool to see them and taste them side by side.
Like, absolutely.
Similar concepts and see what...
two different interpretations.
We also use gelatin in this one, too.
Oh, yeah?
So it's pretty bright, holding it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, we were talking about the Trub thing. When I do dark beers, I don't do any kind of... I don't intentionally put the Trub in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't worry about what gets in there.
If you grab it, you grab it.
Yeah. I don't use Werflock in dark beers.
Really?
Nope. Brewlosophy.
Yeah.
You've heard of that?
Yeah.
They did I listened to a thing about how they did a experiment with one that was Werflock and one that wasn't. And of course it was just one experiment, but the one without the Werflock got the better rating for flavor than the one with. but if I remember right, I don't remember if they use, if they did, I can't remember what kind of beer it was. To me, it would make a difference if it was a clearer beer.
Yeah, than a darker one.
Yeah. So since with dark beers, I'm not worried about any kind of brightness.
So you're not fighting the mass amount of hops that you're getting in, you know, an IPA.
Right.
That's the biggest thing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't, if I'm doing an IPA, I leave all the true behind as much as I can because there's just so much hop matter.
Right.
You don't want that back in there.
Absolutely. Hey, did you say you use molasses in this, too?
I didn't know. Okay.
I use molasses in that, so.
I used Maris Otter, Victory, Chocolate, Amber, Kara 77, I think that's it.
Kara 77?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I was doing a lot of research. I was doing a lot of research on Browns, and that one just, like, showed up on, like, every recipe that I was finding. Like, I was looking on the American Homebrew Association. I was looking at, like, medal winners and stuff. And, like, constantly it was that C77.
Wow.
And I was like, well, if these are winning awards, I'm going to throw it in there. And then I talked to Brian at the Natty Greens pub, and he used it in his. And I was like, well, can I get a little bit of that?
Oh. And
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I used my...
Oh.
You got to use it.
You got to use it.
But yeah, I think it turned out really good. The person we brewed it for, it's his wedding in October. And that was one of the test batches we did. And he was like, this is good. This is perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's a great October beer. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then we're going to do the IPA. I think we're going to do the Rebel Scum. It's a little brighter. I think it's more cleaner.
Yeah, and I like that the vanilla is not necessarily overpowering.
Clean.
Like, I've had a few vanilla beers where it's like, this is just vanilla. This is vanilla extract or something that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
that's in here. And it kind of overpowers, but
I think I want to cut the chocolate down a little.
I like the chocolate, but I like the fact that vanilla is just not overpowering everything else.
That's why we wanted to use the beans to give it a very natural sweetness and not give it that extra alcohol, alcohol-y, taste.
Alcohol-y.
It's a word. I'm an English major.
Sorry, you're like 8 beers in at this point. Alcohol-y's a word.
Alcohol-y is a word. So...
Very good.
Thank you.
Like, I like the difference, just looking at the difference.
They're two completely different beers.
That's why I love going to the different breweries, you know, just seeing everybody's different take on everything.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we've been trying to get flights instead of, like, getting, one single beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's our new thing where if we go to a brewery, we'll get a flight. If we really like something, you know, we'll get a pint of it or something. But for the most part, we get flights.
I still pride myself on the fact that I may have slipped up here rarely, but I have never drank the same beer twice in a row.
That's usually our rule.
Yeah.
If we go out, if I go to like a restaurant or a brewery or something, I'll be like, oh man, I had this one beer and I really like it. I'm not going to get it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to get something different.
Unless there's really nothing else that's speaking to me. If I'm at least a little bit curious about something else, that's what I'm gonna get.
I'll get a growler of it to go, but I want to try something. But I want to try something else. Yeah, I'm
that's
the same way.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good way to be, and especially when we travel, like when we go to Asheville or Raleigh or Charlotte or anywhere for that matter, like, and we're brewery hopping. That's the point, is to try their new things.
Right.
To try, even if we're going to like one of our favorite breweries. Obviously, if they're one of our favorites, they're going to brew something else that we like.
You know, one of the other things with the breweries that I steer clear of is sometimes like their flagship stuff.
Yeah.
Because their flagship stuff, a lot of times, is made for that. And
the
I'm
masses.
Not trying to
the
be.
Masses.
Yes,
yeah, it's made
we'll
for
just
the
we'll
masses.
Just leave it at that. The
yeah.
masses, but I try to steer towards, you know, some of that.
The weirder stuff.
Yeah.
That's
I
what
like
we do.
Small batch, weird stuff.
Absolutely.
That's what we did at Hot River.
Yeah.
They
Hot
do...
River, their small batch stuff, their Brett and Barrel series is always delicious.
It's a purification, I think. I may be mispronouncing it. But they always do something really small. They had this one where, I think it was a Saison.
Peaches and Brett.
That was the first one. And then we went there and we got one where they aged it in barrels with Brett. And it was...
Pale ale.
It was a pale ale. And yeah. It was like... It was so good. Yeah. Anytime somebody came up to the bar and was like, man, what should I get? And they're like filling out the card. And I was like, get the Brett and Barrel. It's so good.
You will not be disappointed. And then we took home a growler of their oatmeal pail because that's a favorite.
Yeah. Oh.
That's
oh,
a good
yes.
one.
I like that one.
That
a
is
lot.
Fantastic.
Yes. That is a good one. Yeah. Well, that's why we went to Unknown a couple months ago. And I feel even, like, the stuff they put into production is, like, a little weirder than most brewery flagship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of test the boundaries. So yeah. I was excited. I was like, well, surely their small batch stuff is going to be even weirder. And, like,
right.
And it was.
That was fantastic.
They do some really different stuff. They did a kiwi sour.
That
and it was
awkward
awesome.
In Auckland. It was... Yeah.
Awkward and awkward.
It was so good. Dude, it was amazing.
I like
if they ever have it and you're there, dude, get it. It is
yeah.
so good.
Well, isn't that one of his, one of Eric's mantras is that he, does he do the same thing over again?
Wait. No, yeah. You're thinking of Mystery.
Oh, who'd you say?
Unknown.
Oh,
Unknown.
Okay.
Someone
Mystery
else.
Does the
okay.
seasonals and they're always different.
Right,
is,
okay.
He does...
Okay.
He does like an IPA, a Saison, whatever,
right.
whatever, but they're always different.
We just
okay.
spoke to someone who got them mixed up, too.
I forget who that was,
yeah.
Because yeah.
they're, and I never thought about it like that before,
like
Unknown
weird
and Mystery.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mysteries are unknown.
Yeah.
The Mystery is another
but
great brewery as well.
Mystery is doing some really cool stuff, too. I reserved, and there are still some left if anyone wants to donate to the Kickstarter or the GoFundMe.
I think it's like a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
Or Indiegogo or something like that.
One of those, it's their Don't Be Mean to People Saison
mm-hmm.
in protest of HB2.
Oh,
and
nice.
For $20, you can reserve a 4-pack of the Saison that they brewed with a whole bunch of breweries. Ponysaurus did
it's a
it.
A lot
Mystery,
of people
Prior,
involved.
Highland, maybe Highland?
I think Highland's going to do it.
A bunch
mm-hmm.
of... people. But it's a great cause and it's a cool thing. And I'm really excited to get a can where the name of the beer is Don't Be Mean to People.
Nice.
Yeah. They're always doing really great stuff for the community.
Yeah, we're really big fans of Mystery. Anita's awesome, Eric's awesome.
Yeah, he has a book coming out this month, Eric.
Yep.
Really?
So
yeah.
It's about North Carolina breweries, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be posting about that when it gets closer. We usually post articles, well, we always post articles and on our Twitter and our Facebook.
Yeah.
So make sure you subscribe to us for that. Yeah, we have it on Tapped for beer ratings.
I tried my best to check in beers.
Yes.
really
they
hard.
Sometimes come in a cluster. We're not alcoholics, and we're not drinking on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. It's just when we remember to check in beers. A lot of people do it that way. A lot
I
of
forget.
What was it? There was one time I did that. I had like 3 beers in like 2 minutes because I was going over the ones
I
would
do
that
every morning.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it said something about that's a lot of beers really fast. We hope you're at a beer fest.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like
they do. They're like slow down a little bit. You can also follow us on Instagram, crafted_for_you. We are on iTunes and any other podcast app that you may prefer.
Sorry, speaking of the devil, Anita just invited me to something.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm looking
it's fun.
To see
We're
going to
go to it.
The Roast of Eric Lars Myers.
Yes.
That sounds awesome. So if you are in the Hillsboro area on May 28th, they're doing a roast of their brewmaster. Yeah. Check that out. That should be really fun.
We'll definitely post about it. But in the meantime, you should subscribe to us.
Yes. That is the biggest thing. Like, if you have iTunes, go on there. Give us 5 stars. Give us a really nice comment. That would be super cool.
That would be very nice. And we very much appreciate it. And the more ratings we get, the more we show up as a suggested podcast for other people. So you're spreading the love of how much you love us. That'll make us love you more. So what could be better? If you have questions, you can reach out to us. We'd love to hear what you're drinking. If you have any questions, if you want to just meet up and drink, we do it often, obviously. So that would be pretty cool. What? No.
And speaking of things going on, if you are a homebrewer, this is our homebrew episode. If you are part of the AHA, which is the American Homebrew Association, there is a rally this Saturday at Noda Brewing Company, which was always fun. They always do a single hop showcase, which is really cool. Well, they'll have the local homebrew come in, and they'll all brew the same beer with the same malt, but they'll each use a different hop, which is always fun. So you kind of see how each hop tastes.
Yes, and even if you are not part of the AHA yet, but you've been interested in it, you can sign up for your membership at the rally. You get it as a discount, and your membership is good for a year. You get access to a lot of different recipes and articles and events and a lot of cool stuff through them. So we highly recommend it. We really enjoy the rallies that they put on. And I think that is just about it.
Also, one more thing.
It's not.
No. but wait, there's more. Beerco is celebrating their 2-year anniversary.
Yes,
Next week, the 19th through the 21st. That should be really cool.
So
I'm sure they're going to do a lot of...
three-day long party.
I'm sure they'll be doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah. And, wait, there's more. Our very own host, Jeff Scheman, has his own news that I'm going to make him announce now.
Oh, yes. So I know that I've been flip-flopping from employer to employer. So I worked at Natty's for a year and a half, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to try the whole retail beer thing. So I worked at Total Wine for a while, and I got really burned out on that.
It was terrible.
It was not to say anything bad about Total Wine. Great company. But as of yesterday, I am the taproom / event coordinator for Pig Pounder Brewing Company.
Well, you're not the taproom. You're the taproom manager.
Taproom manager. Sorry.
Oh,
Pepper manager
Bender.
Of Tepper of blah 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 of Pig Bender, which they also won a gold medal, which is awesome. And so did Heist Brewing Company, Wicked Weed. Crap, I'm blanking. There was one more brewery.
Rutrow.
I can't remember.
Time to check her.
Check the feed really quick.
Drum roll. Where is it? Oh, Wicked Weed, Pig Pounder, Heist, and Old Hickory.
Old Hickory. They won 2 medals.
That's awesome.
So North Carolina brought home some medals. That's awesome.
And that was in the World Beer Cup.
The World Beer Cup.
So they were competing
with every country, with like 72 countries or more.
So it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Cool.
And we won, Pig Pounder won in English-style brown. With their, I forget the name of the beer.
Boar Brown.
Yeah.
Boar Brown.
There you go.
Boar Brown.
So.
You better learn that.
I know. Come down to the pub and try some. It's awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.